You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And welcome back. We're live as we are every Thursday night from Baker's Water Street Grill in Toms River. A lot of action tonight. A lot of football on the TVs coming up. And we're talking high school football till 8:30 right here on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Kevin Williams, Matt Harmon, Ed Sarluka. We just got done talking Jackson Lions, and we make the segue to the Homedale Hornets, because without question, the result of the opening weekend that I think sent some shockwaves around the shore was Homedale's 21 win over Barnegat. We're joined by the Hornets head coach, who happens to live down in these parts, so at least it worked well for him, and that is Frank Papalia. And Frank, obviously, congratulations go along, and I know it was a great win for you Friday, but I'm sure your theme with your players this week has sort of been that celebration is over. We've got another game, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think right after the game, our seniors actually mentioned this is just one. I think that was kind of the motto and the mantra for the week. Basically, what we're saying is you can't play your schedule before the season. You can't look down the road, and Barnegat was all we focused on, and this week, you know, the minute that game was over, we let it sink in a little bit, and then we started talking Middlesex, and that's a credit to our senior leadership.
Coach, but how important is it for you guys after, you know, a rough year last year with just one win to get that first one kind of out of the way in week one, and not necessarily even worrying about surprising people if Barnegat was supposed to be good, but just for your own sake and the own mindset of your team now moving forward?
It was tremendous. You know, we knew how good Barnegat was. We knew how well coached they were, and we knew what a challenge it was. And I think, you know, kids in the school just assumed that we were going to lose, and it was kind of a world against us mentality. And losing nine last year was tough. I mean, we were in almost every game down the stretch. But, you know, to get the first win, to get the monkey off your back and to prove that the hard work in the summer and the dedication has paid off, I just think it was a tremendous boost for us. We had a tremendous week of practice, and I think a lot of it goes to showing that what we do on the practice field has paid off on the scoreboard.
Okay, you go into this Barnegat game, and I don't know if you heard us on the radio last week, but a lot of people said Barnegat, you know, easy victory, you know, against Homedale, you know, to get them started into their conference schedule this week. You know, did the kids, you know, did we give you or did the media give you some bulletin board material or what?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't.
We
actually brought the Asbury Park Press into our pregame speech, and we brought a bunch of other stuff that came around. And we understood it wasn't a disrespect to us. It was more showing how great Barnegat was, and they're always very good. But our kids felt like, let's show them. You know, we worked just as hard. We were in every game last year. We got a little more ammo this year. Let's shock them. Let's shock them.
Barnegat, a team last year, and again, last year was last year, and this year is this year. Barnegat, a team last year that threw the ball a ton, scored a lot of points, put up a bunch of yardage, very gaudy offensive numbers. And I know that, you know, from reading some of the preview articles on you guys going into this season, defense has been a big focus. So I'd imagine that after the game on Saturday, when you hold a team to under 150 yards total, that's, you know, pats on the helmet for everyone who played on that side of the football.
Yeah, you know, I've been the defensive coordinator for the last, since I've been at Homedale. We kind of hang our hat there, and our kids work extremely hard. And this year we have a couple linebackers that have really kind of been able to adjust everything and work real hard, and they kind of set the tempo. And, you know, we can coach them so far, but they got to have it. They put extra time in on the film room and the chalkboard on the practice field, and, you know, to hold a team of that, you know, prominence offensively to those numbers certainly was a boost to our defense confidence as well.
Tell me a little bit about your quarterback in making his varsity debut, his first varsity start, Mike Cantelli. The name is familiar.
Robbie Cantelli.
The name is familiar. The last name,
yes.
Maybe not the first name is familiar, but obviously had a good debut for you last week.
Oh, without a doubt, I'll tell you, Robbie has been just an exceptional player for us for the last 2 years. Probably a little under the radar because we struggled last year. He's returned kicks. He's caught the ball. He's run the ball. He's done everything we've asked him. It was an unselfish move. I don't know if he wanted to play quarterback, but he volunteered. And he's had to work extremely hard to learn how to throw the ball and do all the little things. But, I mean, he did an amazing job in his first start. Not just throwing the ball, running, but the way he managed the huddle. You know, he went on two one time to get him off sides, and that's his call. You know, the little things he does and the way he rallies the team. I mean, they look to him, and there's a lot of confidence when Robbie's under center. I mean, they know that he can make plays. And, you know, we had a scrimmage this year where we were playing Monsignor Donovan. I give my brother Jim a lot of trouble because he coaches over there. And he lowered his shoulder and ran somebody over. And you could just see the rest of the team kind of rally. And he did the same thing versus Barnegat. It was a tough first quarter for us, but he just started to rally. And you could see the kids' confidence rise with him. So aside from, you know, the statistics stuff, the intangibles of leadership and the way he plays really leads our football team.
Frank, a big game on the ground, over 200 yards. Tell us a little bit about that running game.
Sure. Well, we've spent the – I'm an option guy. And we went away from that, and we felt in the offseason we're going to play strong defense and run the football. And we were going old school Navy. We spent some time at the Naval Academy this year. Again, we have Robbie, who's fantastic, but we have a bruising fullback. And you know, I don't
And a young one, right?
He's a sophomore. He started every game for us last year, Frankie Candido. He's an added element. He does not go down on a first hit, and that's really important. But besides that, we have a kid, Mark Scherzer, who plays slot, who's an underrated kid, Matt Dixon. But the kid's blocking on the edge, perimeter. They may not have caught a lot of balls or, you know, had their name in the stat book, but they're the guys that really made the plays happen. Very unselfish group. Our offensive staff has done a good job. You know, Billy Binding is over there, Rick Hout, Joe Zaccone, Colin Hart. They've really preached the unselfishness, and you could see it. Everybody wanted the guy to get the ball that was supposed to. There was no selfish, I want it. It was just kind of like, hey, I'll block. I don't care if we win the game. And that's pretty neat for kids.
Coach, this week, obviously, you have Middlesex on the schedule. But after the weekend, you know, you get the big win on Friday, Saturday, you know, go get through the weekend. And then Monday, how do you pop the balloon a little bit and bring the kids back down to earth?
Well, I'll be completely honest with you. We're not good enough to overlook Middlesex. I'd be lying to tell you we've done anything. But, you know, we focused on is Middlesex. And I know it's coach speak, but it is absolutely true that Middlesex is still a solid team. Their best running back didn't play last week. We've seen him on film. They're not a team to take lightly. We have to work extremely hard this week to win. And if we win, which I hope we do, we'll cross that path there.
Because we know your division is a cakewalk.
Oh,
Class
God.
A Central. I mean,
I think we have the New England Patriots week four.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, I mean, like, there's really no one any good. Rumson, Red Bank Catholic, Manasquan, yeah. St. John Vianney, who was very impressive last week.
Yep.
Monmouth and Raritan. Piece of cake, right? Once you get to the division schedule.
Yeah, it's certainly tough. And my first year as a coach, Coach Studdy, who was my coach, told me, like I said before, you can never play your schedule before the season. And that's why we really have to take that week by week and just try to get a win every week and focus everything on that. Because when you do look at the schedule as a whole, it becomes depressing because there's so many good teams, and you know you can't focus on down the line. You just got to say, let's beat Middlesex, let's be 2-0, and let's worry about Rumson that week.
We're talking with Frank Papalia, the Homedale Hornets head coach, in his fourth season as head coach. If you didn't pick up on it, Frank's a Central guy.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, Matt, I feel very uncomfortable here sitting between
yes.
these two Golden Eagle.
And one across the table.
And one across the table. The kicker. We got Austin DeRose coming on soon. But, Frank, give us a little bit about your background now that
sure.
we know you're from Central Regional High School.
Sure. I actually started my career working in politics. I worked on Capitol Hill for 3 years.
So you must really be into this year, the election year.
I certainly am. I certainly am. And I moved home. My father got sick, and I moved home. And I actually went to a Central practice to visit Coach Studdy. And he brought me over. He said, let me introduce you to the kids. And he said, this is your new quarterback coach. There was no choice given. So a lot of what I learned, and Billy, who's sitting with me here, we coached freshmen together for 2 years. And he's been with me at Homedale now, and he does a great job. But I came to Homedale as a defensive coordinator, and I was lucky enough and blessed to be the head coach of some great kids and a great school.
And if you ever get in any trouble, I know why you brought Billy along.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a small guy.
My grandmother
calls him the large man. He really is.
You know, Homedale is a, let's be honest, it's a program that has not had a whole ton of success.
Right.
There's been some good periods.
Yep.
It's been about 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
But, you know, you've struggled for wins there.
Yep.
And, you know, you talk to a lot of people. I'm a believer in it. Winning breeds winning. Kids have to learn what it's like to win,
yes.
to get accustomed to it. And once they get a taste of it, they like it, you know? Yes. So I assume you're still trying to establish that a little bit.
Well, you know what helps? We have a coach, Joe Zaccone, who's in our weight room. This is his third full year now, and you can see the difference in our kids. They're bigger, they're stronger, and they're more confident. And I think that goes a long way in the weight room. You know, with our success running the ball and the way we, you know, we've always played good defense. It's always been the offense that needs to catch up. And, you know, we feel like if we can establish some run game and kill clock and wind it and play good defense and win close games, you're right. Winning breeds winning. And our kids certainly have never given up. I mean, last year was a very tough year. You know, we were leading Manasquan at the half 14-7 late in the season where, you know, a lot of kids would say, what am I doing here? You know, but they certainly fight. And they're just a tremendous group of kids. They really are.
We can't let you go, Frank, without complimenting you on the job that Homedale High School and yourself as the host did this summer hosting the All Shore football game.
Yeah, thank you. It really set the tone for our summer, actually for our kids. We wanted to have it. We felt we could make a real community day out of it. It was a packed house. The weather was perfect. I mean, you couldn't have asked for better. It was a fantastic football game. And one of the things our kids took out of it was they looked around and saw a packed house. And on the back of our shirts this year, it actually says packed the house. Because they wanted that feeling. They wanted that, which is tough at Homedale, to get the student body out for games. But they certainly showed up opening night versus Barnegat, and I'm sure it gave us some fuel. And it really was a fun thing for me to do. After the hard work was done with all the coaches, it certainly was fun for me to sit back and enjoy and watch a great football game.
Well, hopefully they'll be hanging on the hill this fall, and you'll be winning some games. We appreciate you coming down tonight, I'm sure, after a long day at school, and best of luck this week against Middlesex and the rest of the season. Happy for your early success.
Thank you so much. Thanks for letting us represent Homedale football here. I really appreciate it.
Well, you did a great job, as always. Frank Papalia, the head coach at Homedale High School. What we're going to do right now, guys, is shift to a special piece we did with Dr. Lawrence DeRoche from Community Medical Center, and we'll do that now, and then we'll come back and we'll continue. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football, and here's the good doctor. Well, we're talking with Dr. Lawrence DeRoche from Community Medical Center. He's the chair of the Emergency Medicine Department, and we're going to talk tonight about a medical subject that has become paramount in sports, really, over these last few months. Hardly a day goes by that you don't hear something about concussions. And first of all, doctor, I want to thank you for giving us some time tonight.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. I'm glad to be here and have a discussion about this.
Obviously, an emergency room would almost be like the front and center of someone who has suffered a concussion. And I think you'd probably agree with me that, especially in terms of sports, it has become a very hot topic of late.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's been so much in the media in the last few months regarding concussions and multiple head injuries, especially with the professional football players in the NFL. As you know, there's been some lawsuits in that regard, and we're finding out more and more that some of these guys who were just out having fun, getting paid to play football, and got hit in the head a few times and had some concussions are actually showing some long-term effects of that. There's actually some studies that have come out revealing that if you get hit multiple times in the head and have multiple concussions and maybe don't go back, or maybe go back and play too soon before you should, it can have some long-term effects. It could potentially lead to some memory loss down the road, of short-term memory. There's a question, does it may or may not lead to the early onset of dementia. That one's a little bit more out there still. I think there still needs to be some more research on that, but there's definitely some research out there that's showing that this we need to be very, very concerned about head injuries and concussions.
Now, one might think that this is a new phenomenon. My guess would be that concussions have been around in terms of athletics ever since they started playing them, but we are obviously more aware of it, and we have erred more on the caution of safety. I think we chatted last year. I said it was very common 20, 30 years ago that a player, even in a high school game, would get what was called his bell rung and be back in the game after some ammonia salts, smelling salts in a couple of minutes. We don't do that today.
No, that's exactly true, and we don't do that any longer today, and certainly we shouldn't be doing that. If a player, the symptoms of getting a concussion, you don't have to be knocked out, but there's something not right with a player. A player will suddenly be running the wrong play, after getting hit hard, and it may not necessarily be a direct blow to a head. It could be just, you know, getting flattened out onto the ground, hit hard. And he, you know, the next play, he's not himself. He's late off getting off on the play. He may come off the field and kind of have a glazed look over his eyes and not really know what's going on. He might be asking the same questions over and over again. He may not know where he is. He may just be somewhat confused. That it can be symptoms like that. The extreme is obviously, a player who gets knocked out and is clearly unconscious. That's obviously more severe, and those players usually are taken immediately out of the game. But it's important for the trainers and the coaches on the sidelines to recognize these other players who aren't acting normally after a play.
You know, Doc, obviously this is a football show, and football is where the concussion news has been hot and heavy. But on a local level, like you and your colleagues at a place like Community Medical Center, I am sure you're just as liable to see kids coming from a youth soccer game suffering the signs of a possible concussion than a high school football game.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in high school and soccer leagues, specifically looking at soccer, at the high school level in soccer clubs, as to whether or not they should ban the taking a headshot playing soccer, because multiple headshots could potentially lead to a concussion and some of the long-term problems that we're talking about. Other sports, you know, all the physical, physically aggressive sports like hockey, lacrosse, certainly those we see it, but it could be something else too. It could be basketball. You know, a player, you know, takes a fall and lands and hits his head or gets hit in the head with the ball. A player in gymnastics who takes a fall from the bars. There's so many. A child who just is running in the house and slips and falls and hits their head on a concrete floor. I mean, there's many ways for a child or an adult to hit their head and obtain a concussion.
We're on the Barnabas Health High School football show. We're talking with Dr. Lawrence DeRocher from Community Medical Center, where he's the chair of the emergency medicine department. We're discussing concussions. And I would imagine, like any other injury, there are grades of concussions, and they must, for the difference between a minor one and a severe one, it's got to be like night and day.
Well, certainly the more severe ones are when it's sort of beyond a concussion, you know, and a player or a patient has a head injury and they're unconscious. And, you know, we do a CAT scan, and they may actually have a true brain injury that we see immediately on a CAT scan. Then there's those who have a loss of consciousness, and we do a CAT scan, and the CAT scan appears normal. But they're having some symptoms of a concussion, and that could be nausea, it could be vomiting, dizziness, headaches, lightheadedness. And those are all immediate, and they can last anywhere from a few days to a few weeks to resolve. And it's very important that we emphasize that a player not go back to play sports or a child not be involved in any contact sports until all of their symptoms are completely gone. And sometimes their symptoms are gone, and then they start to play, and the symptoms come back, and that's a sign that they need to stop playing.
And, you know, maybe one of the words you might take exception to, or anyone in the medical field, minor concussion. For example, New York Jet quarterback Darrell Revis suffered a minor concussion last week. But obviously, because of the propensity for someone to have a concussion and likely to have more, there probably is no such thing as a minor one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's kind of terminology that we don't really use as medical professionals. It's more the lay public that uses those terms. And certainly for the media, they may not want the fans to be overly concerned, so they say minor concussion. But really, a concussion's a concussion, and although the symptoms can vary, being very minor with just a little headache and some dizziness that last for a few days, and or it could be symptoms that last for a few months, but it's still a concussion, and it's still important that the players not go back to playing sports until their symptoms are gone.
And bottom line, in wrapping this up, if any of those signs that you outlined exist, regardless of the age, regardless of the sport, you want to seek medical attention immediately.
That's right. You know, if you can't get in to see your own doctor or pediatrician, you know, we're happy to see in the emergency department. We can get a CAT scan done and be sure everything is fine with your brain 24 hours a day. And then follow up after that is really important. You know, we'll want you to follow up with your doctor or pediatrician. We may even want you to go see a brain specialist like a neurologist. you might even need, you know, if the concussion is bad enough, it might be something you actually need some rehabilitation for as an outpatient. So it's really important that you get plugged right into the medical system.
Dr. DeRoche, we thank you for your time and for your involvement and for Community Medical Center's participation in getting these kind of messages out there. Thank you very much. All right, thanks, Doc, and we'll do a little medical thing each and every week as Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical are the sponsors of this program. We are the Barnabas Health High School Football Show from 7 to 8:30 every Thursday night. Kevin, Ed, and Matt here at the Water Street Grill and Tom Ziver. Tom Tremblay making sure everything's working here. Philip Harding back at our studios of 105.7 The Hawk. And, you know, we were setting up the show for this week and, you know, looking for different things to do, and we had one spot to fill. And we let's do something different. I don't think we've ever had a kicker on a show, but there's a pretty good circumstance because Austin DeRose's first varsity field goal was a dramatic game winner on Friday night as Central opened up their season with a 29-26 win over Tom Ziver South at Detweiler Stadium. So we asked Austin on a school night to run down here and join us for a couple minutes, and he was good enough to do so. So I want you to take us to what, because it was a wild game, and especially, yeah. I guess, the last quarter was crazy,
yeah.
Back and forth. So take us to the circumstances, and when is it going through your mind that you may have to be the guy here?
All right, well, we got a punt. We returned a punt, and we got good field position, and we started running the ball, taking some time off the clock, and with about a minute and 30 seconds left, my head coach came over to me and told me that it was going to come down to me. So I
By the way, your head coach being Vince Cassell.
And the game is tied at this point.
The game is tied.
Right.
And I just started practicing, started getting my mind ready, just started loosening up, and then the time came and made the field goal.
All right, now, correct me if I'm wrong, you had missed an extra point during the game, or was it blocked?
It was blocked.
Okay, it was blocked. So now we're going to line up. Let's see, where's the ball at the time? Do you know?
It was a 27-yard field goal.
All right, so it's probably at what this would be at the
inside the 10.
Inside it would be at the
it was right
at
about the 9 or 10,
nine,
right?
Nine,
okay. Yeah. Middle of the field?
Yeah.
Middle of the field. All right. You've probably made a zillion of these in practice,
yeah.
But this is not practice.
No.
And the difference between making this and missing this is a pretty big deal. So what are you feeling at that moment?
Well, obviously I was nervous. I mean, everyone would be in that circumstance. But I try to tell myself that if I'm nervous, I'm going to mess up. So I try to stay calm, stay composed, and I just try to tell myself that it's just like an extra point, like every other extra point.
Do you have the net on the sideline?
Yeah, I have
the
net.
You do have the net, so you're one of those kickers that, you know, do you have a holder or do you set it up on the tripod?
I set it up on the tripod.
On the tripod, and you take a million kicks on the sideline, right?
Yeah.
Then explain what happens after that.
The bizarre ending.
All right, well, my snapper, Jeff Payton, he threw one back, and it was a little questionable, and the holder, Tom Clark, called our fire call, and he threw it, and threw it to me, actually, and I didn't catch the ball, and it counted as an incomplete pass, so we did it on third down, so we still had one more opportunity to kick the field goal with about 2 seconds left. And back in the huddle, we just all try to come together and stay composed and just tell our snapper, Jeff, that it's all right, don't worry about it, so you get another shot.
Right, so it's the holder's call on when you said fire. That obviously means we're not going to kick it, we're going to run a play.
Yeah.
So it's his call.
Yes.
All right. Clearly, did he have to do that? In other words, or did you think there was a chance that he could have gotten it down and you could have made it?
Yeah, there was a chance.
All right, but he erred on the side of caution. Here's the big question. Did everyone know it was third down and you had the chance to throw an incomplete pass or even
to stop the clock?
To stop the clock and get another play.
Our coach went over it before, and that was a really big heads-up play by Tom to throw the ball into the ground or to get an incomplete pass so we had another shot.
So then you line up again. Does your mind change anything at all?
Obviously, I was a little bit more nervous that time. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen. But thank goodness Jeff composed himself, threw back a perfect snap. Tom had a perfect hold, made the field goal.
Now, let me add that this was your first ever field goal in a varsity game.
I mean, I've kicked. It feels like a million extra points. I kicked actually my first real field goal in the scrimmage against Long Branch. And I've never, in 3 years of varsity football, I've never gotten the opportunity to kick the field goal. So, I mean, I've done it for 3 years. I've practiced a million times. I just try to tell myself that it was just like practice.
I don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to ask you. Do you play? Are you just a kicker, or do you also play other positions?
Just the kicker.
All right, so, I mean, you're home on the game. You're just waiting for these opportunities.
Yeah.
Now, the legend is that kickers are kind of flaky, a little weird. Is it true? Are you a flake?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
I can't lie.
I got some people in the audience shaking their heads out here.
So do you like when it, now that you know it's going to be a big situation, do you want to be away by yourself, or are you okay with guys coming over to you?
I like to be away by myself. I like to just focus. I don't really like when people add more pressure. I don't think anyone does.
Okay, the kick goes through. Who is? Tell us about the celebration afterwards. Who was the first one to pick you up?
All right, well, this is what happened. I knew there was going to be a dog pile or something. So I tried to run as fast as I could out of there. And the snapper, actually, Jeff Payton, came behind me and just tackled me. And everyone just jumped on me, and there was a huge dog pile. And then two kids came up and picked me up, and it was great.
Now, there's obviously a ton of discussions. You know, we've seen it at practices we've gone to, and I have the opportunity, and these guys do, to go cover some college stuff as well. Everyone is jealous of the kicker at practice, right?
Yeah, yes,
because
yes.
You can kind of, you're on your own time frame pretty much.
Yeah.
You can kind of come if you want to come. Not that you're not at practice, but, you know, if, hey, I got to stretch out a little bit more in the locker room and then come out.
Yeah.
Talk about the dynamics of being a kicker on a football team.
All right, well, I mean,
because you know what the other guys are saying about you.
Yeah, They say it to me.
Do you punt also?
Yeah, I do punt a little
bit.
But for practice, we do special teams in the beginning. So we all stretch as a team. We do some special teams. And then I kind of go off on my own on our game field and kick a couple field goals. And then I hang out, just go around the team.
Check out girls' soccer practice.
Definitely.
See what the field hockey team's
soccer,
doing.
Field hockey, tennis, all everything that's around the football field. And then we do conditioning at the end. So that's really
you have to run the sprints.
Yeah.
You do.
Well, I choose to because I the whole team thing.
Yeah, I got you.
Soccer background?
Yeah, I played soccer my whole life since I was like about four. Up until freshman year, and then, I don't know, I was having second guesses about playing soccer, and one of our coaches, he's also my basketball coach, Pat Ramsey, sat me down and told me, like, they need a kicker, and it would be a great opportunity for me.
Made you be the kicker is what you're trying to say,
right? He persuaded me. I wouldn't say made me.
Let's, you know, we'd be remiss since we have you on. You know, last year there was a lot of extra points to have to be kicked
because you guys scored
a ton of points with Kay Leaf Hardy running kind of the show. What's it like now for you guys as a team to not have him around and maybe be a bit more balanced as a team this year?
That's definitely what we are. We're more balanced. I mean, we have a new quarterback, Marcus Drumright. I mean, he's put in a ton of work over the summer. You all know about Khalif's cousin, Javon.
Right.
I mean, we're just so much more of a – we're not more of a family, but we're a family now. We all hang out together after practice. We all try to be together and just get that bond. I mean, our line is doing great things. Our defense, just everyone is just clicking.
And, of course, you've got a big game tomorrow night at home, right? You're at your place against Jackson Liberty. We had them on earlier. And, of course, obviously you have goals of winning the division. It's got to be one of your goals this year.
It's definitely one of our goals. Our coach, Mr. Jacobs, told us that out of all of our goals, that's our first goal. That's what we should have our mindsets on.
So if tomorrow night it comes down to an Austin DeRose field goal on the final play, are you more confident now? Did the experience of last week help you, or is each kick different?
Definitely more confident. I told you before, I try to imagine every kick as just an extra point and just kick it the same way.
Well, we thought it was a great story, and I'm glad you came down. You handled yourself really well.
Thank you.
A lot more people know you in school now, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Extra dates, did it help out with any of that stuff? I mean, you know.
Not yet, but you know, homecoming's coming around the corner.
I got you.
And, you know.
All right, here you go. Austin DeRose, the kicker for Central Regional, and he'll be kicking tomorrow night against Jackson Liberty. Thanks so much. It was nice of you to do this.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty cool. All right, good story. That was one of the good stories of week one. And we've got a little more high school football to talk. We'll take a break, come back after this. Hopefully we'll be chatting with Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.